Classic Business. Lowell.
I've just finished reading the Integrated Resource Plan. Finally, the country has an electricity plan that is somewhere closer to reality. It's certainly a positive, and I think we should give credit to the National Executive, to the Minister and his team for bringing this to finality. However, the IRP is not without its faults. To talk about the good, the bad and the ugly and what happens next, I'm joined now by Jesse Burton, a researcher at the University of Cape Town's Energy Research Centre, and Mark Sklarczyk, Plexos analyst at Energy Exemplar, and an individual who's worked for many years inside the system, inside Eskom, but is now somewhere in the US advising the Jamaican government, I believe. Mark, what are you doing there? Just remind us.
Yes, I'm currently working for Energy Exemplar and in the North American energy market, and I've moved on from the Jamaican energy plan. I'm now working with some of the larger utilities in the US. Yeah, we do quite a lot of IRP work. Well, some of our clients do a lot of IRP all over the US, amongst other things.
And the modelling on our IRP is actually performed using Plexos by Energy Exemplar. What work did you do on the IRP before you left?
I was part of the team that did the initial 2010 project, and I joined the team in 2017, and we did, you know, a review of the actual model itself for the Department of Energy, and then did some work on battery storage feasibility. And yeah, so those are some of the projects I worked on.
I'm going to come back to you, Mark, on what you think of the current IRP. I'm sure you've had time to run your eye over it. JC, let's take a step back, because it's been 10 years since the last IRP was gazetted. So can you just share with listeners, as a policy instrument, obviously the IRP sets the tone for the largest infrastructure investment in the country. What is the IRP exactly? How does it differ, say, from the Energy Master Plan?
Yes, I imagine everyone keeps hearing IRP, IRP, like they have no idea what it is. What it means is, what it stands for is the Integrated Resource Plan. And integrated resource planning has a long history in many electricity markets, especially you have monopoly utilities like we do. And usually what they do is they estimate demand for electricity, and then it's a process for testing what the best mix of options for supply is, including energy efficiency, and how best to do that while also meeting the policy goals of the sector and of the country. It's basically a plan for how to deliver electricity, what gets built and when. And in the South African context, it's very important because the legal framework depends on the IRP for the minister to make what's called a ministerial determination, which is what triggers the procurement process for new capacity. So without an IRP, we haven't been able to commit to any new capacity in South Africa, even with all these issues with Medupi and Kusile and other coal plants. Now, it's different from, say, an energy master plan, because it only looks at electricity. What you want in an energy master plan is to look at all the demand sectors and supply sectors in an economy. So also, for example, transport and liquid refineries, and there's very important policy questions about the interaction between electricity and those sectors, which unfortunately, because we don't have an IEP and don't seem to have one on the horizon, currently aren't being answered.
And Mark, it's clearly an area of massive contestation from the political standpoint. Lobbyists have much to gain from us going in any particular route. Coal lobbyists with mining rights access, with nuclear lobbyists, renewable lobbyists. It's highly contested, which is why we need to strip out the emotion and rely so heavily on the science here. What does the science and the evidence say about the best least cost energy mix that we should be pursuing as a country?
Michael, you're quite right. I mean, as far as a policy instrument in South Africa, I don't see anything that is more important in terms of the amount of investment that can draw, especially from abroad. You know, what we're wanting to see in it is, you know, just the science, you know, as Jesse mentioned, using some of the demand forecasts that we sort of input into the model. We then include, as it is an econometric model, we include all the, you know, build costs and all the technology-specific parameters and how these operate. And then essentially, you know, the model then would, you know, do a least cost optimization, and it will spit out the irrelevant build plan. And if you want to drill down further, you can drill down into actual sort of what we call production cost modeling, which is running the system for any given period of time and seeing the actual cost for running the system.
And that's what you really want here. You want sort of techno-economic parameters for a technology mix and any other scenarios that give you a low-cost energy pathway into the future. And Jesse, to bring you back in, you're obviously being mindful of the context in which South Africa operates, of wanting growth, wanting to create jobs, and wanting to really commit to our agreements internationally to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels and our climate change commitments. Given all of that, what did you see as the good news in the IRP?
Well, I think the best news about the IRP is that now we've got one. It's finally been finalized. I think what's good also is that you've seen an improvement between 2018 and 2019, where the modeling team are clearly taking on board some of the suggestions from the public. So, for example, they are at least looking at trying to see what happens with making Eskom's coal fleet compliant with the Air Quality Act. None of Eskom's plants are currently compliant. They're looking more realistically at some of those technology inputs that Mark was talking about. So now we're seeing that with better kind of battery cost assessments, that batteries are coming in. It's very clear, which all independent modeling has shown for many years now in South Africa, that new renewables, mostly wind and solar, are now so much substantially cheaper than new coal or nuclear that they are the lion's share of new capacity in the model. And, you know, the DOE have also taken on board some of those suggestions from stakeholders that, for example, if you smooth the uptake of renewable energy, instead of having, you know, a three-year gap and then suddenly 1.6 gigawatts, if you smooth that over some years, you can enhance, for example, the industrial policy benefits of having this big build plan that we're going to have. Well, so that's good. Of course, it's not all good news.
Well, then what's the bad news?
For me, one of the biggest issues with the IRP, as I see it, is that, in fact, the reporting is not that good. So it's very hard to see in this version where it deviates from these costs. It's actually quite difficult within the document itself to see what some of the assumptions are. You know, best practice would be to show a least cost reference case, as you've said, and then to show you the policy adjustments that the department is making so that everybody can together assess the trade-offs for society, right? But all we can see in the IRP is a price path of the policy adjusted plan right at the end against the older 2018 scenarios. So for a layperson, it's almost impossible to see what is driving this big price increase that we're going to see from the plan that's actually being gazetted has a very big jump in electricity tariffs. And it's very hard to understand what's driving that until you kind of dig down into the text and you discover that it's because we actually have a shortage of supply over the next 3 to 5 years, and that the plan includes running the diesel turbines at very high load factors.
And as we know, those burn millions of litres of diesel every minute at great cost to the South African economy, up to 6 billion rand spent year to date on running those. Mark, what do you see as some of the concerns, or what do you like about the IRP?
Yeah, I agree with Jesse. You know, now that we have one, I mean, we've gone through many drafts in the last 9 years. And I think, you know, the Eskom folk would probably be pretty frustrated because they've done a lot of work behind the scenes. They're pretty competent and able to do these sorts of modeling exercises. But yeah, I think it's given a simplified build plan, you know, which you can then, use to sort of evaluate what kind of investments, you know, should come into the country. And I think already some comments from economists, you know, outside of South Africa, and just seeing the jump in the dollar rand exchange just shows that, you know, there's appetite outside of South Africa for investment in this area. So, you know, it provides that basis as a policy document, for some foreign direct investment. So that for me is pretty exciting, but yeah, I mean, it's just the first step in the right direction.
A first step, just to push a little bit more on that. Currently, we get about 95% of our energy from coal. The plan looks to take this down to around 60%, as I read it, by around 2030. Is that ambitious enough, considering the technological leaps we're seeing in things like solar and wind in particular?
Sure. I mean, we can, as energy planners, we can set a target, and, you know, the Eskom and all the stakeholders can, you know, make their way there. provided, you know, there's sufficient government backing. And again, you know, it boils down to a cost. We can kind of build whatever system, you know, government would like. But as far as you know, there's a couple of things that were mentioned in the IRP about converting those expensive diesel turbines to sort of gas turbines, which, you know, then leads to the question, where is the gas coming from? Are we going to expose ourselves to a market, which is, you know, global LNG markets or the like? And then, you know, how are we going to actually, you know, are we going to go into further bid windows, you know, for the renewables? So, you know, a lot of the detailed questions on how it's going to happen and you know, which of the different technologies are going to be selected, those will come in time. But for the moment, you know, it's answering the important questions that we need to answer.
And the important question, JC, back to you, is where is the next bit of capacity going to come from over the next 4 to 5 years? As we have just hopefully exited the most recent bout of load shedding, the latest update is we won't have load shedding for a week, but the system is on a knife edge constantly. We need new capacity and quickly, and it does seem like the only viable solution there would be for renewables. What would you like to see happen next now that we have the IRP gazetted?
I think we want to avoid load shedding at all costs. There's a table in the IRP that has kind of what gets built each year between now and 2030, and the section that covers 2019 to 2022 for other generation, which is kind of everything that can be built very quickly, including rooftop solar, says allocation to the extent of the short-term capacity and energy gap. And, of course, in the next 2 weeks, we'll see Eskom's medium-term system adequacy outlook come out, and we'll have a better sense of how big that gap is. But I think the IRP already says it's between 2 and 3 gigawatts per year. We need a massive drive now to get new capacity on the system as quickly as we can. And I think we need a very massive drive around efficiency and demand-side management, which is kind of been absent in our IRPs for many years. We have a very supply-side oriented policy kind of world. We really need to be looking at how can we be more efficient as an economy, how can we shift load around to try and reduce the risks to the system, and then we need to be kind of maybe asking Mr. Mantashe very nicely to move very fast on the procurement of new capacity. That is what I would be doing. That load shedding is going to persist for some years unless the economy really goes into a bad state. Then the next big risk is that there's 750 megawatts of new coal planned for 2023. And those, the kind of two little coal IPPs that are closest to reaching that, Cabernetti and Canisa, are facing significant challenges with finance. Most of the local banks are saying that they won't finance that critical, kind of quite inefficient old coal plants. And so I think we need to be thinking a lot about what happens if that doesn't materialize, and what happens with Medupi and Kafila, because the plan currently sees them coming online as normal, as planned, at their full rated capacities, but we know that they're not running at their full rated capacities, and there's potentially very large flaws with those plants. So given those kind of constraints, you know, what can we get on the system as quickly as possible? Cheaply, I mean, everything's cheaper than diesel, just about. And kind of what are the institutional frameworks that we can do that in?
To butcher a saying, I think one giant leap for the minister and his department, but still only one little step forward in ensuring we improve our energy outlook and security here in South Africa. JC Burton, researcher at the University of Cape Town's Energy Research Centre, and Mark Slarczyk, Brexos analyst at Energy Exemplar, with the first take on the IRP here on Classic Business. Let's cross to Pusalezzo for the news.